We are returning to our teaching on understanding grace. Hallelujah. Praise God. As we go in tonight, we finished up the last week dealing with the area of salvation, dealing with grace for salvation, or grace for the new birth. And we're going to begin to look in tonight what we would call standing grace, because there's saving grace. And sad to say, the majority of the church, that's all they know, saving grace. You know, God used grace and saved you. And that's basically what they talk about, but grace sort of just ends right there. Because people believe that God's in control. If God's in control, there's no need of grace. Other than he got born again, there would be no need for it. He's going to make call all the shots and do everything. You wouldn't need none. Doesn't matter about you. It's all about what he wants. Well, it isn't like that. But standing grace really is the power of God that flows into our life that gives really us a victorious Christian life. Is if we're going to live the Christian life, you cannot live it without grace. You can't do it. It can't be living, by willpower. You know, it's good to have good willpower, but your willpower enough, if you have not noticed, is not enough. You can play the willpower game all you want, but there's something needed beyond that. And there comes in the areas of grace, because this is God working in us, and we come into his kingdom, and his kingdom really requires his ability to work in the people of his kingdom. And so it's not something that God tries to hold back from us. He would be a fool. If God wanted you to live a good life and live a life fulfilling his will and then wouldn't give you grace, I don't even understand why he'd even provide salvation. That'd be the most stupid thing in the world, you know. Some people, some people he chooses, like Calvinism. God chooses for some to be saved and some not to be saved. And it's like, then what's the point of grace? What's grace about it? There's no grace in that. I mean, that's stupidity. And so, but there's grace in the fact that God wants to give you his ability to live a victorious life, to be able to fulfill his will in your life. There's nothing should be more pleasurable than any individual. The fact is, we can do the will of God. Before I got saved, there was no chance of that. I tried to be a good person. It never worked. It never worked. And I needed a change that only grace could bring. And that's grace and salvation came the new birth. And see, that's where most of the church world deals in that area, because grace is not only in the initiation of the new birth, it's continuation in everyday life. Is dealing with that is the initiation. Today, most of the church world don't even preach a new birth. All they preach is forgiveness of sin. And you need to understand this. Is all we got is forgiveness of sin. We are no better off in many ways than the people of the Old Testament. See, in the Old Testament, they had forgiveness of sin. And the reason God gave them forgiveness of sin, they had for 1 year. Now, their sins were forgiven. They were put under the blood for 1 year. But after 1 year, they were back to the same place with God where they were before. And the reason for that is because man could not be born again. God didn't forgive us sin like he did in the old covenant. He didn't forgive sin in the same. The old covenant, and sad to say, so many of the blood songs, even today, there's ones that we sing in church, and I really don't care for them much, because certain things, say some of it's good, some of it's not. They talk about being under the blood. I am not under the blood. We're not under it. That was old covenant. It's under the blood. They were under the blood because being under the blood, God... really, dealing from the blood standpoint, didn't look upon their sin. God doesn't deal with us the same way, because God dealt with mankind in the new covenant is to remove the sin nature. And so we need to understand that's about the new birth. It's not just about, if all you have is forgiveness of sin, that's why many people are brought into the kingdom confessing the fact that their sins are forgiven, and that's their confession of salvation, and they never got born again. They walk around, people have talked them into it, ministers have talked them into their Christians, and it's never happened. They never pass from death unto life. That's why many people who are so-called Christians never live a decent life. They never got born again. See, when I got born again, it changed my life. And see, this is the whole thing, is that people need to get over into this and to the thinking of it is the gospel that we preach, what we're telling people. And see, if people are just, well, forgiveness of sin, we shouldn't expect much to happen to an individual, because people must be born again. That's when they got to pass from death unto life. They need to become a new creation. And that is in the new birth, and that's what that really grace does, is the introduction to grace is through salvation. And now when you come into the kingdom, then grace continues in its operation. But so grace is not just for the sinner to be saved. The grace is for the believer to live victorious every day. That's what it's for. And as we go through this thing, we'll begin to look more and more, and we're going to talk more about the areas of faith, because understand this about grace. When we talk from the subject of faith, just as we got born again, person got born again by faith, entered the grace of God. It does not change at any time in the Christian walk. You must always respond to grace by faith. It's not by sight, it's not by feelings. And see, you're going to have to do it in the same ways. People got born again. We received Christ. Got born again. It's like Jesus had told apostles that, you know, they gathered together. And anyhow, they were, actually, these guys, they didn't believe when Mary had seen Jesus. They didn't believe, and he said it. Later on, he appeared to them. And we talk about, they use the term Thomas type of faith, where Thomas said, you know, he believes the Lord because he saw him. But I'll just be honest with you, every one of the disciples did that. None of them believed Jesus was alive when they told them. Every one of them did the same thing. They didn't believe. In fact, before Jesus left, he rebuked them because they didn't believe the scripture said so. He rebuked them because of their unbelief. So all those guys came to faith through seeing. That ain't the way you do it. Jesus said those who don't see and believe. And so coming into the kingdom, we received Christ based on what the Word said, not by what we saw. We had to respond to it, and we responded what the Scripture said to believe. We had to believe that Jesus was Lord and that God raised Him from the dead, and we never met Him. Other than we were told through Scripture, and the fact of this faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. Grace operates in exactly the same way as it does for salvation in the entire Christian life. You're going to have to walk along and make confessions about grace working in you when it doesn't seem like it at all. See, people, grace don't just drop on you just because you ask for it. It doesn't have, it, grace is, works from the standpoint of faith. In other words, whatever grace the Bible has for you, you must respond to it first by faith to get it to work for you. You must believe it's given to you before it manifests. If you're waiting for it to manifest, then you're going to believe you got it. Well, forget it. You didn't get it. Maybe God was just really merciful and in spite of you did something. But you always have to respond to it by faith. This is why it's important what you say. If you can't control your mouth, you cannot live by grace. You can't do it. You have to watch what you say about yourself. You have to watch what you say. See, God's given us grace from the air standpoint of healing. Most people have a hard time. I'm talking about Christians, spirit-filled Christians have a hard time because we say too many things about sickness and disease we should not be saying. We have not learned to control our mouth with grace. And we say things that cause us huge amounts of problems. If we can't control our mouth, you're going to have to do that concerning grace. Because when you get into situations and things ain't working out for you, what are you saying? If you aren't speaking grace words, don't expect grace to kick in and help you out of it. The first thing I recommend anybody to do, keep your mouth shut when you're in trouble. First thing, close thine mouth. Second thought, think about what you want to say or what you'd like to see have done that God said He would do for you. Then speak that. And don't speak until that comes out of your mouth. See, usually people will say 10 different things till they figure out they're saying the wrong thing. They expect to say one thing and turn out all those other 10 around. This is good preaching. This is about faith. Faith is about, it's about the things that are really guarding your mouth. You need to be very careful because of things that we say that can cause us a lot of trouble, and especially in the areas of grace, when you need grace helping you, when you're in a situation and you want God's grace to begin to work for you, be careful about what you say because you want to speak words of faith. You can't confess what you see the problem is. You already see what the problem is. Why confessing the problem? You think it's going to change it? It's not going to change it. It isn't. It's not going to change it. Sit and think about it. You know, you're dealing in areas. You know, and I'm talking about every area of your life. I'm not just over here in the areas of healing. You know, I've learned this over the years just in the areas of grace. And God continually, I've learned how to respond to it in this area. If I'm working on something or doing something and I run to a spot where I just don't know what to do about taking care of something, I think, man. And I say, well, Lord, you said if we lack wisdom, we asked you, you'll give it to us. So I just want to thank you. You're giving me the wisdom. See, that's grace in work. I say, thank you. You're giving me wisdom. I'll know what to do to take care of this. And I ain't, now naturally, I haven't got a clue, but I'm not going to go over and talk about my inability to not be, I go and say, you know, God's going to give me wisdom and he will. You know, most of the time, it doesn't come instantly. Many times I will get away from something for a time. And all of a sudden, it'll come to me what to do. And you know what? I have that happen so regularly, that is a norm for me. I'll just say, I don't know what to do about something. I say, well, God, this is such and such. You're going to give me wisdom on what to do with this. I say, you're going to show me. I just want to thank you. Thank you for giving that to me, the wisdom on that thing. And I'll just go let it alone. See, I thought one of the times, you know, one of the worst things we do, we just stay around and keep messing with it. And say 20 things when we got mad that didn't work. That impatience gets you every time. I've learned this over here, the wisdom to walk away from something.
Amen.
The wisdom to leave.
Amen.
Wisdom to step back and say, okay, what do I need to do here? What do I need to do? Well, till I know what to do, I ain't doing nothing. See, that's not in, you know, we Americans, you gotta get everything done and do it right away. That's the good old American way. And then after you cause so much problems for yourself, even when you get the wisdom to fix it, you gotta fix 20 other things you messed up while you were trying to fix it. But learning to do that, learning to say, well, God will give me wisdom in it. Learning to do that things in the smallest area. See, I don't pick the hardest area. Most people, they never turn to God about something until some biggie comes up. And most of the time, people can't get it to work. I learned to get things to work in the little things. And the little stuff in life, I learned how to use grace to speak things to change the little things. And if I could change the little things, then I can change some bigger things and some bigger things. But you learn it on the little. You don't try the big thing. It's like I always say, you know, the guy that never bothered to train to believe God for a headache and then turn around and got cancer and he's going to believe God for cancer. Good luck. You can't tackle the little ones. You ain't tackling the big one. You always learn on the little ones. Faithful in little, ruler over much. Not faithful in little, don't rule anything. Hey, it's the way it is. You don't rule. You learn that. And it's a principle. It works. But take the little things in life. You might seem things to you as doesn't seem like much. But I found God's interested in everything about your life. You know? I think God really gets excited about when his people just stop and just ask him to help. I think that pretty well excites him. That he wants to get involved in things. Where he becomes real to us in our whole life. In everything. He's real to us in everything. So we want to come to that place. And this is where grace, and I mean, I thank God it works. Follow the principles of faith. Faith does not change from getting born again to anything else. Responding to grace is always in the same manner. You respond to God by faith. Say, whatever it is, God, I want to thank you that you're giving me grace to do such and such. You might not feel you got anything at all. That is, see, you respond by faith. You're not responding. You're by feelings. Well, I just don't know. I don't know if this will work, or I don't know if that'll work. And well, you got to walk by faith and not by sight. See, this is where the scripture comes. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We don't live up to that very much because we don't respond to grace very often. To the idea that we could do anything through Christ who strengthens us. See, we got to come to that we can come to things and realize the only thing that can limit God is me. That's what will limit God. I would limit God myself. So, I can never look at God and He's been the problem and I'm limited because of Him. No, that never happens. Now, in Acts, the 13th chapter, we want to look here at just some scriptures about that speak to us about grace and God working in us. Acts 13 and 43, it says, "Now when the congregation had broken up," it said, "many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, and who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." So it's a continue. He said to them, so these people got saved. Paul and Barnabas ministered to these people. They got saved. Now he told them, see, now you've got to continue in grace. In other words, well, you got saved now, guys. That's the grace. That's grace. No, he said, you continue in grace. So, in other words, there's got to be a continuation. So he persuaded them to continue in grace. We don't have enough of that teaching that persuades people to continue, and I guess that because many don't know that you can continue in it. But many people start out in grace, but they immediately, after they get born again, go back to works. Religion will always lead you back to trying to please God by your abilities rather than God's ability. See, God wants you to work. When you respond to God, the Bible says whatever we're supposed to do it by faith. So that means we need to be responding to grace all the time. Because whatever we do, so it comes down to that, it's not getting back over that we're trying to use our performance. This is why the Bible tells us that we need to always give God the credit or the glory for something. Because if it's His grace that was in you working, you'd be a liar if you act like it was you. You'd be a liar. It wouldn't be true. And this is one of the things that's getting over is God's working in us. And that's why I give him the credit for it. One of the things is the Holy Spirit probably won't respond to you well if you keep patting yourself on the back. he probably won't respond to you good. It's always, thank God for what He works and He does in you. And you know, the Scripture says without Him you can do nothing. You need to come down to the idea that that's the truth. You know, you ain't even sitting here breathing tonight because of you. Now, I'm not talking about being a Christian. I'm talking about any life on earth. If God turns the switch off, everything dies. All life exists because of it. And people need to come to that realization. We get over thinking about these things. This is why it's our reliance on God. We need Him. See, when man gets away of the no longer need for God, he doesn't realize his great need for God. And, you know, we're running down on the end of time, and we should become more conscious of our need for God's grace and God's goodness to us than at any period. Because there's a great demand on in this time. And the Scriptures tell us there's going to be a lot of problems in these last days, and it's not good in these days to be getting away from God. It's a very dangerous thing to do. The Scripture's clear on it. It's a very dangerous thing to do. So in Acts, the 20th chapter, I'm going to read in Acts 20 and verse 32 says, "So now when the brethren," he said, "so now brethren," he said, this is Paul speaking, he said, "I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." He said, "I commend you to God." That word commend just means to entrust, to the care of, or preservation of. So, but I mean, trusting you to the care of God and to the word of His grace. So the word of God's called the word of His grace here. He calls it the word of it. I'm entrusting you. See, the word of God reveals God's grace. I'm entrusting you to God. I'm putting you in God's care and to the word of His grace. So it's important we follow the word. He said, because why? It's able to build you up, and it's able to give you an inheritance. Now I want you to understand this statement and give you an inheritance, because see, we have an inheritance. Every Christian that gets born again, we have the same inheritance as Jesus, but majority of Christians never experience it. Now, just because we have it, we need to understand this. Why? Because of grace, even though we have it, it must be responded to by faith. So here, this is what he's talking about here in this. It says to give you an inheritance. In other words, you need to be able to take a hold of that inheritance. That's not something God does for us. That's something we do through the word of grace. God is able to allow grace to work for us. And we, in other words, what we have inherited through God, through faith in Christ Jesus, then we can live in that inheritance. There's an important part of it. It's not like, you know, apples fall, getting ripe and falling off a tree. It doesn't happen like that in Christianity. Well, if God wants me to have it, I'll have it. Well, no, that won't happen. You know, good luck. It doesn't work that way. So the word of grace is going to build you up. It's going to give you inheritance. So this, the teaching of the word, just what we're doing now, it'll build you up. It'll make you able to take what belongs to you in Christ Jesus. That's the whole purpose. That's the whole purpose, that we can get a hold of what God has given to us through grace in Christ. That's so we can respond to it by faith. We can believe it belongs to us, then begin to speak and to act like it belongs to us and take a hold of it and say, well, that's mine. I believe I received that. I believe that one's mine. And taking a hold of that. See, sometimes, you know, people get over and they're laboring, trying to get what belongs to them. But God's grace will build you up so you don't have to struggle. You don't have to struggle to get grace. The struggling that most people go through, it is not to get grace or get things of God. It's the struggling of trying to do it by works. Many times people are trying to do these things, they're trying to gain knowledge of God through works and stuff instead of responding to God by faith. And so we want to continue to do that. Really, what our responsibility in this is really deals with this. It's our response to God's ability. That's what it is. We respond to God's ability rather than our own. God has given grace to give you the ability to understand and comprehend things. And so he will, as long as we operate in the areas of faith and believe that he will work in us, continually making the right confessions about God working in us. So many people, you know, so easily say things about themselves. If they mess up and do stuff, they make derogatory remarks about themselves. Oh, what's wrong with me that I'm so stupid or I'm this? You saying that for years, saying those kind of things, don't be surprised. Sometimes things are really hard for you to grasp. But say those things, you don't say those things. If you want to rely on grace, well, you know, I'm not trying to walk and live the Christian life based on I'm so smart. I found out that I'm so smart people. In fact, the Bible even tells us that I'm so smart people have a hard time getting this stuff. God didn't choose, it said, many wise. People in their own wisdom. It isn't about our brightness. It's not about that. If it was, then only really smart people could get a hold of the things of God, and the poor people that didn't know how to read or write. Well, I know that doesn't work. I've been to countries where a lot of people couldn't read and write, and they live better Christian lives than the Christians in America do. So I know that. I know that. That ain't got nothing to do with nothing, and I've seen more power of God work in those places sometime. I've seen more power work in those kind of conditions or under those conditions than they do with people who think they're bright. That is, God doesn't move because we're bright. God moves because he's bright. So one of the things is getting ourselves into that area of thinking, breaking that over yourselves of dealing with all of your ability. It's just like with revelation. I've learned over the years that revelation comes to me because of the grace of God. If you learn how to respond to grace, revelation comes easily. I am just this past week, God gave me revelations on a number of different things. Just came to me, sitting down, just generally reading in the Word, and all of a sudden, not even in the areas I was even reading in the Word, God began to speak to me about certain areas of Scripture, and I saw things I never saw before, and saw it in certain ways. Just like, wow, they just come. But see, I never say to myself, well, you know, I read words, I just have a hard time understanding, and I have never do that stuff. I've never done that. I've learned a long time at the beginning. You aren't going to get anywhere saying that. The Holy Spirit's the teacher. If anybody can teach us, he can. Amen. He's not moved by our ability to comprehend. He can reveal to us and show to us. He can reveal God's wisdom to us. And so keep yourself in those areas where you don't get over into those places where you're just trying to figure out. I gave up. When I first started off as a Christian, I used to sit down and study the Word, try to figure things out. And I found out the stuff that I figured out later on got revelation. I thought, well, I hadn't had that figured well at all. So I learned over time is you don't try to figure it out. You let God reveal himself. That's what he does. Allow him to reveal himself. Allow him to teach. And he can do a very good job of it, of teaching people. Hallelujah. And so that's one of the most wonderful things about it. Nobody has to be in the place where they don't know what's going on or they don't know what's happening, what God's doing or him revealing himself. Everyone can know. In 2 Timothy, the second chapter, I'm just going to read with the first verse. It says, and this is Apostle Paul. He's writing to Timothy, who is a pastor. He says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. He told him what? Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Remember, Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See how you do that, being strong in grace. That's how you're strong. You're strong in grace. You're not strong in your ability or your wisdom. You're strong in the grace of God. And understand this, dealing with those areas is God giving revelation. It's one of the wonders of grace is God, it's just like the Word of grace. You turn around and go to the Word and God gives you revelation of the Word. And that's one of the things that you want to do is one of the things you find if God gives you revelation, treat it as such. Treat it as a revelation from God. Don't take it lightly. I know this over the years. There's Christians that really have a hard time learning new things. It's because when any kind of revelation comes to them, they never walk in the light of it. Although say, yeah, boy, that was really, I learned this great thing. God don't give you revelations. You go around and brag about what you know. He wants you to do it. And if you're not going to do it, don't be surprised. Revelation doesn't come. There's no need for it if it's not going to be used. There's no need for it. Gaining information not using is really a waste of time. You know, it's like going out here and getting an education and you go out here and you get an education in a field, you never use it. What a waste. Find out what you know in an education in what field. What is it? It's stupid. We had a guy when I worked at HB Race Candy Company, they gave us a manager in the company who was managing. I mean, here he is. He's part of this billion-dollar corporation, and he's sitting there, and they put him in charge of the peanut butter cup is number one seller. And they put him in charge. He was a biology major, and he was a terrible manager. He was horrible. He didn't know whether he was coming or going or what was going on, but he had no education in the field he was in. But because he just did, you know, stupid people doing stupid things, they put him in charge because he went to college. They put him in charge and he was dumb as a stick. And, you know, it just amazes you. But see, that's the world. There's no wisdom. The world is full of stupid. But thinks they're smart. But it's just filled with stupid. And, but set yourself. God can give you wisdom on what to do, especially living this life. I mean, it'll keep you out of a lot of trouble and heartaches and stuff that follow what the wisdom of God says. Now, you're going to run cross-grain. The world's going to have all their stuff that they're so bright at that don't ever work, but they just keep beating the same dead horse, you know. beating it. But live off the revelation. When God reveals something to you, live that revelation out. I'll tell you, it'll become a great blessing in your life. Hallelujah. So be strong in the grace. God reveals to you the grace, whatever he has. So understand this, if we're told to be strong, then that would depend on us to be strong in grace. See, God's not going to make you strong in grace. That's going to depend on you. You see, this is one thing, God is in control. You'll see as we study the subject of grace, you're going to see a lot of things where the scripture just tells you it's up to you. It's not up to God. It's up to you. You see, it's not going to just happen to you. So you're going to decide. Well, it's one of the things I decided I wanted to be strong in grace, so I just set myself to, you know, basically, this is my number one book. I have other books and stuff and things I've read over the years, but this is probably a good 85%, maybe 90% of my reading comes from this book. Thank God other people wrote things that are really good, but this is my major thing because This is the grace of God speaks to me out of this thing. Revelation out of this thing. If some, I find this out, you go in and somebody writes a good book, you don't get revelation from them unless they have telling you what the word said. You don't get revelation just because they're smart people. No, they'll be dealing with some scripture and they'll be dealing with it, and all of a sudden you get a revelation from that scripture. The Holy Spirit takes what belongs to Jesus and reveals it to us. That's what the Bible says. Too many books have too little Bible in it. Too little Bible, too little revelation. See, God will give man, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, God's going to give them revelation in the Word. Not in the latest trends of society. Not into the latest, you know, things that are going on and happening and people are doing. That's not where it comes from. It comes from the Word, and that's why it's so important in Revelation. And so we have a wonderful book, and I just can't believe no thicker than this book is, no more than the pages that are in this thing. It is amazing how little I know. All I've learned, but how little I know. There's so much of this book. This book amazes me because I can sit down and read. Like, I like history. I'm reading a book now about the Revolutionary War time period that was written about different things, and I really enjoy history. But you sit and read through it. Once you read it, you go back and read it again. It's the same thing as it was. But the Bible is life. And I go back and read it again, and I think, I just read that. But how come I didn't see those words? How come? Why? Because they aren't revealed by my mind. They're revealed by the Spirit. Sometimes, you know, God's had me do this. He'd tell me to go over and read something. And I'd go over and read it. He'd go to me, go read that again. And I'd go back and read it again. And read it again. Read it again. And read it again. And all of a sudden, oh, finally I read it. And I really looked at what it said. oh, that! Ah, hallelujah. Well, praise God. That's just part of life. But this book is wonderful, and I'll tell you what, it just revolutionized your life the way you think. Number one, you'll get eternity-minded. One of the great detriments in the Christian church is most people are not eternity-minded. They are just short-thinking. I'm just trying to have a good time this week. I'm just trying to have a good time this month. And it's not eternity-minded. And so God's life is eternally-minded. And to enjoy the life of it, man, you want to get that life, that you want to get that vision of eternity. You want to get it in you. Hallelujah. There's more than just this. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the Word is going to work exactly the same as we leave this earth. You aren't going to go to heaven and they're following the Democratic or Republican Party. A lot of Christians are going to be shocked. They're shorts. The conservatives are running it. They're sure they're going to have a vote up there and somebody's going to... They're sure of that! They get to heaven. There's one thing you get there. There's one thing. The more you know, really, and I'm just going to tell you this. When you get to heaven, you're going to understand it. The more you have understood the Word on this side, the more you're going to understand when you step over on that side. Or you're going to have to learn it there, one way or the other. You're going to have to learn it. God set up this system. It has not changed from earth to heaven. If you have to learn it on this side and practice it, therefore you will have to do it on that side. That don't change. God changes not. Right. These words ain't going to change. Amen. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Mm-hmm. Boy, the majority of Christians are going to be so shocked when they get to heaven. Because they thought, surely all this stuff passes away, and we just get to, hey, we're just going to be sitting around on clouds and, you know, playing harps, and God's just going to be catering to us up there. And just no. There's one thing I know what I'm going to like about heaven. Because, see, I like to do it on this side. I like to learn. When I get to heaven, it's going to be fun. I'm going to get to learn. Gotta be awesome. Amen. Glory to God. To me, I just think about it. No hindrances of the flesh. No hindrances of the stuff in this side. So see, I don't want to have a crazy mind when I get there. I don't want to be thinking. It's Marietta Davis who got caught up to heaven back in before the Civil War. She was caught up to heaven. But one of the things that she said, when you get to heaven, she said, you think on there just like you think here. Said, if you didn't know anything here, you don't know nothing over there. When you get there, you just don't know everything. You don't. She said she had to learn things while she was there to realize how it worked. It didn't work like she thought. See, we need to come out with that, lose that thinking. And that's why on this side, we're in preparation for that side. That's why Jesus said to Kenneth Hagin in a vision, many of my people will not be ready to meet me at my coming. They've not prepared to go over. They've not prepared. They haven't got ready to step over. You know, I don't care if Jesus is coming back or you're dying and going. It's the same. Being ready to go. Hallelujah. So we're in preparation here of the grace of God. And just think what it's going to be like, folks, when we step into the full grace of God. Don't you want to be able to take advantage of some of it? Or maybe stuck in heaven kindergarten for at least, for 400 or 500 years. Oh, loads of, you go visit, a lot of pastors will be there. They're going to be in kindergarten for sure. But it's a matter of learning. But to me, I don't care. Actually, I don't care what class I'm in. As long as I get to learn. That's what I want to do. I want to learn. It's going to be wonderful. Absolutely wonderful to be able to learn. Glory to God. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 9. It says this. Hebrews, the 13th chapter. This is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to Jews, some Jews here. These are the Jews. He said, don't be carried away with various and strange doctrines. Well, we have that today. All kind of very strange. He says, for it is good that the heart be established, what? By grace. There, don't be looking for new. We deal with things, even if God does something from your standpoint, it might be new to you, it's not new. There's things that when I look in the Word and I see things in Revelation over time, I realize so many things have already exist in God's kingdom. We just find out about them. We just begin to learn about them. But everybody today, they're looking for this revival to come. People are saying, well, it's going to be a new thing. It's not going to be new from the Word standpoint. It's going to be the same as the Word does. God doesn't change. So He's going to carry out things in the same manner as He does. He might do something from the standpoint a little different and who or what He uses or something like that. But from the standpoint, it's going to stay in line with the Word. And this is one of the things. How would you know if it's new and the Word don't show you? How would you know it's God? You wouldn't know. So when people put this stuff out, well, God's going to do... The Word talks about Israel said God's going to do a new thing. Well, Israel was backslidden. Anything God would have done would have been new to them. They weren't following none of what God was doing. It had all been a surprise. But He's doing a new thing. And we need to understand that we're living in a time... the Scripture teaches us, and from the standpoint of revival and moves of God, we need to understand this, that... God is moving. It isn't a matter that something we talk about new. Now, we may see God move from the standpoint of doing more of certain things, but that's not new. It's one of the things is there's things that God has shown me already, and I know He's shown others and things. And concerning this last day revival, there's move of God. We need to understand that we're moving to step into, and we're really preparing ourselves. You got to prepare by grace to step into these things. You got to use faith to step into these things. And God in movement, we look at Jesus' ministry and people, when Jesus said, greater works, He said, will you do? I do not believe, I go with Kenneth Hagin on a teaching and others on the teaching, it isn't greater works than they're actually from the standpoint that we're going to do, you know, bigger, more powerful things than Jesus did. Because just what John said about Jesus, if you could write down all the things that he did, he said, no, the earth could contain the books. But understand, Jesus was one person in ministry. Today, the whole entire body carries out his ministry. I don't think in quality works we will do any greater, but in quantity, because the church will do a whole lot more than one man would do. But in quality, we don't see it from a scripture standpoint. I mean, the things that we can look and see in the scriptures that were done, when we see the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit and things were happening, I mean, we don't see, if we look at any time, if I've ever studied history from a standpoint of the church history dealing with revivals and stuff, you would always find that the works were always similar to the ones that were in the scriptures that took place, different types of miracles and stuff that were the same type or the same thing that was done then. So we're not looking, don't get carried about because people come out with strange ideas, strange things. It said, for it is good that man's heart should be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. See, it's from the standpoint of the Jews. See, the Jews used to follow Paul around. One of the things they did was they would start the things of dealing with the area of circumcision. You know, yeah, you believe in Christ, but you got to be saved. You got to be circumcised too. Well, one of the things that they did also was try to get people to keep following the food laws and that stuff. And today we live in America and we have all kind of food laws. And the church world has all kind of food laws, you know, don't eat this, don't do this, don't touch that, and that stuff. I mean, I have been, was a church and where the pastor was a Rhema graduate, large church, and his people, he had a guy come in and teach them about how they should be eating and following the law and eating. I mean, spending all this time on the natural trying to become spiritual. Lunch ain't going to make you spiritual.
That's right.
Lunch might ruin your life for being so stupid to think it would change you spiritually. See, people get over into it, and there's always these things. Religion. Man loves to do works that justify him. Always trying to be justified by what they do. So see, if I follow these certain rules, I'm better than the other guy over here. I'm better than this guy. See, because I follow these rules. See, we got these things that we do, and this really helps us. God ain't impressed at all.
Amen.
I mean, I taught in a Bible school at that church, and I even told the pastor, I said, your people are the hardest ones out of all the different churches that attend this. Your people are the hardest to try to get understanding and healing. And I knew why, because they were just full of work stuff. You know, you do all these nice things, and God's going to show up. Forget it. You do all the, God don't show up because you're nice. He shows up because he's nice.
That's right.
And your faith in his nice will get him to do something. If God showed up because of our perfection, you would never have him show up. He don't show up. God don't show up. My perfection is my faith. There's nobody perfect. Nobody is physically perfect. No one. No one acts out perfectly all the time. Nobody does. So if God required that as perfection, the perfection God wants is the perfection of faith, your trust in Him. That's what He wants. Without faith, you can't please Him. Don't say, you know, without me being perfect, I can't keep Him happy. Well, I'll tell you, He's going to be an unhappy God a lot. He's going to be pretty miserable. So, don't get occupied with all this stuff. You know, if you want to eat a certain way, you eat a certain way and let everybody else alone. And don't tell them, say to this, God said. We'll have to cast the devil out of you and get you straightened out. God gave me this diet and you have to, hold it, I'll write a book. There's about 500 of those out there, you know, the God-given diet. God gave all these people, all these different diets God gave them. Isn't that a little, you look in the Bible, he don't operate that way. Oh, all right. Say, God gave you one, have at it, enjoy it. You know, over time, God has spoken to me certain things about my diet, said certain things to do and not to. He just for a time. He told me, you know, it's one thing as I learned this. You need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. There might be some things to be beneficial for you at the time. And God tells you, don't run around telling anybody else and everybody else what they ought to do. You do what God tells you to do at the time. And you listen to what He told you to do. But we don't have that today. It usually gets around, well, God spoke to me, so therefore thou shalt do. And if you don't do it, I will be there to remind you. And I'll be the watchful eye over you. Oh, man. Glory to God. Well, He told us that the grace would establish us. That word establish means to make firm or secure or guarantee. See, this, and you need to understand. So grace establishes, it really is what it's doing. It's making you firm. It's securing you. Grace, walking in grace will guarantee you whatever God, whatever you're believing God for in grace, it's going to work for you. It's going to happen. It's guaranteed. That's what grace will do. See, other things in the natural, you can't guarantee. So grace will make your heart or your spirit firm, secure, and guaranteed as you walk around in life. And boy, you need that, especially today. People who are not firm in the areas of grace and Christianity, it's a very hard time for many Christians. Very hard time. They have a hard time maintaining a focus on things and stuff. They can't quit watching what's going on. They can't, you know, it does take grace to stay away from things and not let things touch you. See, I've learned over time is even if I'm looking at things online, of not letting things disturb me. If something disturbs me, I'll walk away from it. Don't do that. Don't sit around. We ain't going to sit around and discuss it with other people. We get in our little irritation. If you can't talk about it other than being irritated, it owns you. It's got, it ain't grace. Grace ain't helping you deal with that. So you have to know, it's no different. When I was an alcoholic and, you know, I got delivered, when I got born again, but I didn't run out and hang out in bars. You know? This is what Christians do. Christians get saved and run right back to the trash that they were in before. Christians run and look at the news all the time and the things going on and the political stuff and make themselves crazy. I often wonder how they, you know, now I know this. It's on radio. They have, you know, these commentators and these guys on there. They have shows. And some of them talk like they're Christians. I mean, they talk, you know, stuff in the Bible. I just don't understand how they can spend hours a day just talking about the garbage going on. How can you, I'm wondering like, man, how can you take it and not go home and get a gun? It's like, how can you stand and just keep talking all day the trash that somebody else is doing that you don't like? And do that all day. And then take calls. With people calling in. It's like, man. I know they say another Christian, but I think, you're just tight. Your mind's messed up. The fact that you sit and just do that and talk, and out of their own mouths, the stuff they're talking all the time. It's like, whoa. See, I don't want that job. don't give me that job, please. I don't want that one. But, you know, people do that. And there's people find that great entertainment. I don't see how any individual who is born again can listen to, like some of those shows are 3 hours long. And people listen to them for 3 hours. Especially be Christian. Oh, I listen to this guy because this is informative stuff. Oh, yeah. Talking about every dirty, evil thing. The Bible says we shouldn't even talk about what they do in darkness. We love it. We love what they do in darkness and can't wait to spread it. We want to hear every dirty story so we can tell it on them. Praise God. Well, let's go to another scripture here. So we can get it all out there, you know. See, I got it off my chest. Now it's in my spirit. Oh. Oh, Lord, help me. In 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, and we're starting at verse 10. It says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, oh, that's exciting, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Then he says, by Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which we stand. So the true grace of God in which we stand. So in other words, grace. You know, some of you are going through things. This is one of the things. Just think about Jesus. I mean, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, sent in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. You know, we don't understand this. It's one of the things as Christianity, and especially I think the so-called faith people have the idea that if you really have good faith, you're not going to face problems. And one of the things you're going to find this, God is going to put you in places to so you can be tested out. You cannot know and have any idea where how strong your faith is unless it's tested. You can't. It's an impossibility. You can tell people all you want to. I've seen people do this kind of thing all my life in all kind of different areas of life. You know, boy, they're supposed to be smart. They know all this stuff, and all of a sudden it comes time. And especially when the pressure's on, they do terrible. See, one of the things that I've learned, this is why I want to encourage you this. Learn to test yourself. Don't always wait for God to have to put you in a position where you got to... See, some people avoid things all the time. They're always trying to avoid difficulties. They're trying to stay away from them all the time. You can't do it anyhow. And learning to be around things and the fact that things are happening, those are the things that give you opportunity to yield to God's grace to learn to do it. So you can learn to yield to God's grace. No, said, oh, no, Lord, I'm in this bad time here. Now I'm going to have to yield to God. I'm going to have to yield to grace to help me in this thing. I'm going to have to do that. And there is. I mean, you are not going to have a faith walk without suffering. You know, Jesus said, you know, you're going to suffer persecution. You're going to give godly in Christ Jesus. The scripture says you're going to suffer persecution. There's things you're going to suffer. There's things you're going to suffer in. You have to learn sometimes you suffer a while in certain areas. Certain times with situations, with people. Stuff happens. You suffer. For a time period, you suffer. And you may. And it's good to learn to suffer with grace than just suffer. Many people suffer through things, but never learn a thing. Never learn anything. It's suffering through using grace. In other words, when you come out the other side, you aren't worn out. Because I tell you what, if the devil can take you to the place he can wear you out, he'll take you to the place to wear you out. That's what he will do. He likes to find flaws in us. He likes to find things that he can take us in there. And that's why, as the Bible says, no temptation comes on us, and God provides a way out. There's a way out. So grace always has a way out of things. Grace does. And it doesn't mean that you won't suffer in some things, that some things sometimes are difficult. You're living in a world, we're dealing with people, dear God. There's, you know, people dealing with each other and that kind of stuff. So there's things sometimes that are difficult to deal with. Situations arise and come up, but this is the things in life. It's just going to happen. It's not, you know, weird. People generally go over the areas of thinking, you know, and they start this thing, oh, why me? Why is God bringing this on me? Why is this happening to me? Hey, it's just life. Get over it. It's life. Just live in this. Now, you have a choice. I can yield to grace in this thing, or I can just try to fight this thing. I can just try to go through by myself trying to do all this stuff. And you know, it's learning. I had one of the things that I had to learn is, so as you come into situations, especially sometime dealing with people, you can never get the idea that grace will want to deal the same way every time it deals with something. You know, this is one thing as I found out about education. They find certain things that generally work and they apply it to everything. And it don't work for everything. They'll find a way, this is how you deal with a person with this problem, and they'll just, and it don't work out. It doesn't work. One thing is I had learned over time is sometimes running into certain people and certain things, it's similar situations, it seemed. But God had me deal with it in a completely different way. Sometimes God would tell me, just let it alone. Don't even deal with them. Just Don't pay attention to it. Just leave it alone. Surely you want to do something. Surely. No, just let it alone. Then the other time he'll come along and tell me I'm supposed to do a certain thing. You know, I've had to deal with people sometimes with problems and situations arose. Sometimes I just knew I was just supposed to go confront it. Next time comes along, let it alone. See, God knows what things are working. This is where we're about with grace. See, it's not with ourselves trying to figure out. Because, see, we don't know what makes everybody else tick and everything work and whatever's going on. We don't know the situations. That's why you just can't turn out this thing and say, here's... That's one thing is I don't like about a lot of books. Because there are a lot of books are written to do this, do that, just in all these situations. No, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. There's no one thing. It's like today we have like one thing that you do. One of the things, you know, is especially God's dealing a lot in the areas of prayer today. But I noticed this among ministers talking in the areas about a prayer. You would think prayer is the only thing that's going to change anything. I'm sure there's more than prayer change things. You can just pray. But there's other things you got to do too. You can't neglect the Word and pray. And you can't neglect teaching of the Word and prayer is going to make everything work. You can't do that. But see, we're fixated in America. We get a thing on, we always have to have a new thing, and then it comes along and everybody jumps on board and just all they do is chase that thing. That's what our medical science does today. They find any new thing that comes along, you know, everybody chases. You know, the cholesterol thing came along, and if everybody took one of these cholesterol medications, that was going to solve the world's problems. You know, it didn't matter if you had a heart attack anymore, that didn't matter. You took the cholesterol medicine, it fixes everything. It didn't matter you had kidney failure. Take the cholesterol medication. That solves the problem. Nothing else matters. In fact, there's doctors who are trying to force the government to make people go on. Everybody had to go on the drug. Absolutely insane. Because any good doctor would tell you there's cholesterol is one thing in your life, but it's not the thing. There's all kinds of things that are more important than that. But we're fixated. We're a fixated people. And you can't be like that. And from a Christian, live successfully as a Christian. You can't do that. You can't jump on every new thing that comes along. Somebody comes along and says, now this is the thing. You just got to do this one. God may be emphasizing a certain thing for people to do, but you don't just do that. You got to keep doing the other stuff too. It's good to know. It's like Kenneth Hagin. There was a church and they wanted to move with the Spirit. They began to pray. And anyhow, they had Kenneth Hagin come to the church to minister. And the pastor said to Kenneth Hagin, he said, we have been praying for 2 years concerning gifts of the Spirit in our church. And he said, 2 years of praying, he said, if anything's changed, he said, I don't know it. And he said, I don't know, nobody else in church knows it. And Brother Hagin said to him, well, have you been teaching on the gifts? He said, well, you can pray for them, but if the people don't know how to operate them, he said, it ain't going to work. You see, you get over and people decide, pray for this move of God. And then everybody's stupid and don't know how to flow with God. Well, you have a move of God, you have everybody's an idiot. Don't know what to do. Right. There's got to be teaching along the line so people can hook up with that. People don't know how to be led by the Spirit of God. They don't know how to do those things. They're not going to flow along with that stuff. So see, you can't just throw one thing out there. But we have that very much a tendency. And sad to say, that's most of the churches today. They follow that principle. Whatever seems to be the new idea or the new thing, then that's what you, bang, that becomes the thing. And churches are, you know, it's one thing. God may use other ministries outside the church to emphasize certain things. But the stability in the church is by following the Word, all of it, not just one or two things. Pastors should not be doing that. You have to make people stable. They can't follow one thing and that one thing is going to work. You know, a banana's good to eat, so I'm going to eat bananas. That's it. That's because a banana could be good to eat. You know, I need potassium in my body, and that's what I'm doing. We're just going to eat bananas. That's what we're going to do. Till we all swing on vines and whatever else. I don't know. But see, everybody gets all hooked on, you know, just a certain thing, and you can't do that. It's all the things in the Word we follow. That's what the church is for, and the teaching in the church is for. Is to bring a stability dealing with all these things. You can't just emphasize one thing and nothing else matters. You know, they emphasize, some of the churches, the faith message so much, but people don't know anything else to walk by faith. how faith works. It's like, hold it. You know? So the faith people got really good, don't know how to live a godly life. Because they never taught about a godly life. They don't talk, they don't ever teach on there's conditions to be healed. They don't teach on that. Just because God wants you well, it's just going to happen. You know, you're going to get it. Just believe God. Say, well, how's that been working for most people? It hasn't. See, that's why we got to stop and say, hold it. I've always learned this. I stop and say, what is it I don't know? What is it that I don't know? See, and always just be like yourself. Let grace teach you. Yield to grace. There's one thing, and that's the humility. Stay in the humility that you don't know it all. Don't see yourself as so bright. There's nothing about I thank God for the wisdom He's given me, but there's one thing I know, is I don't know it all. And we have to rely on grace. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of grace, to help us. Amen. Hallelujah. There's so much that we don't know, and especially right, you know, we're dealing in a world of people, and you want to minister to people. And no human being knows all human beings and what's going on or how they're thinking or what's happening to them. That's why it's yielding to the Spirit of God is so important, because of all that we don't know of things. Hallelujah. And we learn to operate in grace. And the more you operate in grace, the more you'll be yielded to the Holy Spirit. He can show you things. Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's close in prayer. Lord, I just want to thank you tonight, Father, for your goodness and mercy and kindness, Lord God. Father, your whole plan is for us to live victorious. That's what you desire. And I just want to thank you. Father, you've been so kind to us and good to us. Father, Lord, the more we learn, the more we realize that we need to yield to you. Hallelujah. The more we need you to help us. Lord God, the more I know of myself, I understand my own frailty. But I understand a lot more about your power and might that works in me. And I just want to thank you. Hallelujah. I thank you because I do know for sure that the greater one's in me. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you that I can rest in the greater one. And I can trust the greater one. Hallelujah. And I just thank you again, Lord God, because the good work you started in us, you said you'd bring to completion, and we're counting on that. We're counting on your great work. We're counting on your ability that works in us, and not on our great smarts and our great ability to do everything right or whatever. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, you're working mightily in us, doing wonderful things, revealing things to us, showing things. I want to thank you, Father God. Our great desire is to be led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. We want to walk in the fullness of our relationship as sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. We want to live in that place out of the fullness that you've given to us in Christ Jesus. Not just so we can be blessed, but so we can bless this world, because surely it needs it. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.